This episode is sponsored by Day by Day Book, a guided journal that helps you navigate the ups and downs of change while creating a life you love. For more information on the classic recovery or teen day book, go to livedaybyday.com.
So, you know, if you're going through a hard time, there's no way out right now of whatever situation, health or financial relationships, just keep putting one step ahead of the next and trust and have faith and love yourself fully in your darkness with all the disaster. For me, that was the key. That's what changed everything. It wasn't so much I did this, I did that. Yes, I did all the things. I did so many things to get better. But the main key for me was to love myself absolutely broken.
Welcome to Journeys Through Change, a podcast that inspires women to let go of the fear and say yes to possibility. I'm your host, Noelle Vann, an author, creator, and empowerment coach who spent years in corporate America helping innovators and leaders ride the waves of change with ease and grace. I now work with women to step into change and unleash the power they have to create a life they love. Whether you're contemplating a change in your career, relationship, health, lifestyle, or anything in between, nothing's off the table. I'll be offering up simple insights to help you manage the ups and downs of change and sharing interviews with successful women who took a leap of faith to create the life they knew they were meant to live, sharing their wisdom, advice, and all the juicy lessons they learned along the way. So get cozy in your favorite comfy chair and let's get started. When we think about having it all, it brings to mind being at the pinnacle of our career or at an ultimate high in our life when we feel we've reached the summit. 10 years ago, Mercedes Maidana was living the dream as a professional big wave surfer in Hawaii, traveling the globe searching for waves, sponsored by one of the best clothing companies in the world. She was married to a great guy, living on the beach, and felt like she truly had it all. Until one day, it all came crashing down. While surfing at a big wave contest in an isolated outer reef on the coast of Oregon, a 30-foot wave caught her by surprise and broke right in front of her. The force of the wave pushed her deep down underwater while bringing her 20-pound surfboard right to her forehead, with the Pacific Ocean crashing around her, leaving her with a traumatic brain injury that completely changed her life. Once a force of nature, she became frail to the point she couldn't walk her dog a block without passing out. Talking became difficult, and even the simple things were almost impossible to do. A divorce quickly followed, a loss of her sponsorship, and the end of her surfing career. In order to protect her health, she had to stop surfing cold turkey. Since that time, she moved to Austin, Texas to seek medical treatments, absolutely heartbroken. Depression set in and PTSD took over, leaving her to start all over and try to regain the joy she thought was lost for good. Over the years, she has slowly rebuilt her life, found love again, and started a family. She is now coaching women to empower them to achieve their dreams. But most importantly, she started living the dream, even better than before. She never knew was waiting for her all along. Mercedes, it is such a pleasure to have you with us to share your story. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Noelle. I'm so thrilled to be here with you and your community. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And Mercedes, I typically leave it to the guest to sort of start where they want to. But I want to just mention, because I think you and I have, we've known each other for several years now, not closely, but we were in a retreat several years back. And I met you while you were surfing, and I remember your spirit. And so I'm just so thrilled that you're here now, because I feel like you've gone on such a journey. So maybe take us back where you feel most comfortable beginning the story.
Where do I start? I have so many chapters to the story. So when we met, maybe I was actually at the peak of my surfing career, big wave surfing. So I was one of a handful of women that were surfing huge waves around the world and being sponsored by companies. We were kind of the pioneers at the time of the sport, at that level of surfing like 30-foot waves and bigger. I met you in Carmel around probably more than 10 years ago. And shortly after, probably a few months after, I went to the retreat to work on a book proposal. So I was working on doing a personal development book at the time of how to achieve your biggest dreams and goals, which is what I've done with my surfing, which basically I started surfing at the age of 21. Before that, I was a city girl living in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So I'd never been like a beach girl. Surfing was not a part of my life. But when I discovered it, I just went full in. It was like a healing process for me at the time. I was coming from a breakup that I was devastated. So surfing in a way healed me and putting all that energy there. And then I became pretty much obsessed with it. And I started to become good and setting higher goals every year. 5 years after I started surfing, I was already one of the best three big wave surfers in the world in the female category. So my book was about how to achieve like these impossible dreams and how to manifest them, because I actually manifested them with all the tools that I knew at the time. And I was very excited. The book was going to be called, I think it was like Hell Yeah. I used to use that Hell Yeah kind of slogan all over the place, because it was about follow your hell yeah, your enthusiasm, follow what makes you happy. And that will give you the energy and you will going to get the strength to manifest what you want. And that opens the doors to abundance, which is my case, what I learned. And the book was like, Hell Yeah. And the tagline was like, a guide to living your epic life. And a few months later, I already had the proposal ready. I found a literary agent that was, we did a contract. She was looking to get my book out there, published by a publishing house. And then I got my traumatic brain injury, surfing huge waves. And my life just like collapsed really quickly. And I remember like, a week after that injury, like the agent called me and I said, there's no way I can do this book. Like everything turned dark very quickly in my brain. My health just got completely turned upside down and my brain just went into a dark zone. And I knew there was no way I can talk about hell yet. And I, at the time I realized like, oh my God, this is like butterflies and ponies, which is nice. It's an aspect of life, but I was entering the dark side very quickly, and like I cannot sustain going around the world talking about hell yeah when I feel horrendous. So I left that book behind and all those dreams of talking about that, and then the journey continued into actually deep healing, emotional, physical healing, all kinds of healing.
That's real, very, very pivotal and very, very quick, right? For you to have to change your direction. Did you, not to have to go through the entire incident, but when this all happened, you were in competition, right? Was this like a competition that you were at? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know that, I mean, you thought everything was okay. You had a couple of concussions. Like there were some things that kind of led up to this that then got you to a place where you were like, wait, okay, something's not right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Many things led to the accident. Actually, a week prior, I almost drowned in 50-foot waves, like in Maui, in Jaws. That was like the day I should have left this world. And because I was me at the time without any, I just didn't have contact with my inner self, what I needed. I was just coming from an ego self of like achieving, accomplishing. At the time, I didn't die, as you can see. And I felt like, oh, I'm not afraid of death. So I'm just going to keep going and even bigger because I'm not scared. Like, I know that it means nothing to almost leave the body. It was almost like bliss to leave the body. It cannot hurt to not leave it when I came out of the water. I was ready to be on the other side and it was beautiful. I wanted to be there. So I was like, I'm not afraid of death. There's nothing to fear. So let's go bigger. So a week later, there's this competition in Oregon and the waves were going to be like only 25 foot, which was baby big waves for me. And from coming from an experience of almost drowning in 45, 50 foot waves in Maui in Jaws to like these baby big waves, I was like, oh, piece of cake. I'm going to go and win the contest. I'm just going to get the biggest waves and that's it. Then when I was competing, this 30 foot wave came out of nowhere and the whole PTSD of a week prior kicked in. Everything that I never processed from a week prior, suddenly in the water, I froze and my body said, I cannot be 1 second underwater again. I cannot like be drowning. So I froze. And instead of doing the things we got to do when a huge wave comes, that is, you got to bail your surfboard. That is a huge board for big waves, very heavy, very big. And instead of bailing it and going under the wave, I did a lot of technical mistakes that doesn't matter because we're not in a surfing environment right now. But that led me to basically getting that surfboard. The wave got me and took my board into my head. And it was like 30-foot wave bringing the surfboard into my forehead. And I remember, like you asked me, did you feel like something different? Like the impact, it was so strong. at the moment that I remember thinking immediately, you cannot pass out. Like, if you pass out, you're not coming back. No room to black out. So it was like just stars in and out. And at the moment I was bleeding and people around me in the jet ski, they came to see me and everybody got like, they were worried about the bleeding, how much I'm bleeding. Nobody thinking about inside. And me either, I couldn't even process. But by the time I got, somebody took me to the beach, we were like a mile out in the middle of an outer reef in the ocean, like huge waves everywhere. So going back to the beach was really hard, navigating with the jet ski, all these waves. And so by the time they dropped me in the shore, I remember there was this other surfer, he's a very famous surfer from California. He saw me bleeding and he brought his t-shirt. And I remember I'm like, are there any cameras here? And he's like, no. And I hugged him and I started crying. And I remember in the moment, like, feeling this is bad. This is like, I knew it. I knew it was so bad. And then I talked to my sister on the phone because this was live. So my family was watching from Argentina. She called me when I was like getting cleaned up. And I started crying with her, like, I was just devastated, like knew it, like, I knew that this is something else.
Yes.
Then I went to the hospital twice that day because I was throwing up, and they just told me, oh, it's a mild concussion, you know, just. But then throughout the next weeks that followed, I just tried to deteriorate, and it just got worse and worse throughout the weeks, months, and years. So it's been a journey.
So when you say just like deteriorating, like you had mentioned, it became very hard to move, right? I mean, from going from being out in the water every day, and you were, you're a very athletic being now, you always have been. So how did that change? Like, was that something that was gradual? How did you start to adjust?
I felt like an extreme fatigue. Everything was so hard, but I kept pushing that season because I was still like, in my big wave mode, still sponsored. So I kept going surfing and I called it my 30% energy. Like, I was surfing on 30%, which is ridiculous. It's stupid. Like, in big waves, you cannot be at 30%, like just enough energy to go, get a wave and come back. But anyway, so I kept having like more concussions because every time you fall in a wave, the brain gets rattled. And even the impact with the water, all kinds of impact. The water is very strong in Hawaii. So yeah, it just became feeling lethargic, fatigue. It was hard to speak, having these breakdowns emotionally. I didn't know what happened with me. And yeah, like just literally not being able to walk my dog that she used to pull me a lot, a very heavy dog, and not being able to do it. And everything turned upside down. I resisted the change for a long time, for a year and a half or 2 years, that I tried to keep doing my life, pushing through it, but like it was impossible. Until I got to a point that a year and a half, 2 years later, I also fell on a bigger wave and I literally came out of the water and I felt like I had a knife stuck in my forehead and I couldn't even open my eyes. My muscles, they wouldn't open my eyes. And I knew I dragged myself out of the water, like crawling into a sand and there again, crying in the beach. And I knew I was done. Like that day I knew I'm like, I can never do this again. Then I found out I could have had a stroke quickly after that. Like I was just in a level of destruction that just for not letting go when I needed to. Like, I should have let go the day I was drowned. I didn't. Then I had the concussion and then I kept going for a while. So I kept deteriorating my body, which meant my mental health. It was completely related to that.
So how did you start to kind of crawl out of that? That seems like that was a big turning point.
Yeah, and I get emotional about this. I really do when I talk about these things. It's crazy. I talk about these things so many times.
Well, it's hard. I mean, this is one of those things that is embedded in your memory for a good reason, right?
Like it's in the cells or something. And sometimes it's not a bad emotional, like not self-pity, or it's more this question that you ask me. This one gets me emotional because it was a complete surrender to God. How God helped me. And when I say God, take it as you want. Like, for me, my higher power, my loving higher power. We cannot call it whatever you want. I connect to something I call God, universe, whatever you want. And everything was just going downhill at every level. And basically, after the concussion, my husband left me 2 months afterwards. We were coming from a really very distant relationship. And that was like, boom, it just exploded everything. the backstory is that he was always like begging me to not go in these waves anymore, that I was gonna die. And I was like, who cares? This is my dream. Like, I was so selfish and I couldn't like even see his pain. And then like when I come almost dead, like 2 weeks in a row, he was out of it. Like as much as he, I know it was horrendous. He left me with the peak of my concussion, but it was just like years that just everything exploded. So suddenly it's like there's no more husbands that I loved. You know, it was very painful. We were married 10 years, you know. I have to move out of the house. It was his house. So I couldn't take my dog because nobody would rent a place with a dog. It was survival mode. Where am I going to live? It was crazy looking for a room, like rent, a cottage, all these things. Then like my sponsor dropped me and I was also coaching at the time. And I was so depressed. I realized I cannot even fake a session. So I was like, I'm done. So I was just doing whatever jobs came my way, cleaning houses. And suddenly everything was like a big amount of, well, I didn't know at the time, but it was huge PTSD that I had. There was so much loss altogether.
Yes.
Change, you know, his divorce, he was moving, he has no more career and no more health. And your passion that is surfing, you can't do it anymore. I literally at the time, I know that people have gone through a whole lot worse, so I feel bad saying this. But at the time, what I felt was that the next level down was jail. Like, literally, I felt like everything is just so bad. Like, this would be the next thing that could happen. Like, that is, or death. I was suicidal by then. So, in a way, don't even want to go there. I was suicidal, and yeah, I couldn't find a way out. So, it was like thinking of dying was like the only way out. Because also my brain wasn't assisting me. It wasn't just the circumstances. It was that my brain got, you know, everything moved. Later on, I learned like my cerebellum was out of place. So my serotonin was not working the way it should. So of course, like as much as affirmations and gratitude I tried to put into my life, my brain was damaged. So it wasn't giving me what I need. The day I surrendered, I was absolutely broke. I couldn't sustain anything anymore. And I remember I went on my knees and I said, God, I was crying. I said, I don't know what to do. And I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. You never know what it's going to be like. And I was fully surrendered. And long story short, I said, help me. Help me to get well. Help me. I need to make a living. A week later, someone offered me a job in Austin, Texas to sell life insurance. And they were making six figures straight with the system of selling, and he was making the money. That's somebody I really knew well. So there we go. Like, I went to Texas, and I was devastated. For me, leaving Hawaii, leaving the ocean, leaving everything, I'm moving full on to a place, getting a lease. So, yeah, that was like a really hard time. Devastated, also hopeful at the same time. So life has these layers, you know. Like, I was excited about the new career. I was excited. I literally enjoyed a lot going to people. I used to go to people's homes and talk to their families and learn about them and help them protect their families. You know, my father died when I was a teenager and he left a policy. So I knew what it means to have or not have a life insurance. Like, there was still that service action that I always like of connecting to a human being, no matter what work I'm doing. And that was also part of the journey. Like, I got to a point that I was like delivering pizza for Domino's. I always said, like, I'm never going to tell this story. Now I find it really cute. But I was coming from being a coach, making like $2.50 an hour per session, booked, fully booked, to making $12 an hour on a good day.
This is what's so fascinating to me about you. And I think it's because, and I've said this to you before, that knowing the energy that you've had, knowing what you went through and now knowing how you've popped out the other end of it is really, really inspiring. And I didn't realize, I mean, I know that you had lost a lot. That brings you to your knees, right? I mean, that's like a surrender that like not a lot of people will ever experience in their lives, right? Where you're stripped of everything. Plus, from a health perspective, your brain's not functioning the way it should be. So, I mean, the cerebellum, I want to say that it's logical thinking, but I could be wrong. I don't know much about the brain, but there's definitely a shift in how you're viewing the world from a physiological standpoint too, right? So you're battling with two things. As we all know, change is inevitable. Sometimes it comes out of nowhere, leaving us to pick up the pieces and navigate our way through the unknown.
Other times it's a decision we've made to step into a bigger version of ourselves or find more joy or fulfillment in our lives. Day by Day Book was designed to help you face the discomfort of those shifts in life that are pushing you to that next level of growth and learning. It's a guided journal with a simple tracking system to manage your daily well-being during challenging times, setting you up for success no matter what life throws your way. Join our community of over 15,000 changemakers and get started on your daybook journey today. The time is now to step into change to create a life you love. To get your Day by Day Book, go to livedaybyday.com.
Okay, so you're in Austin, you're selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
What next? What came next?
I'm going back to Domino's. Like what I was.
Oh yeah, go back to Domino's. I'm sorry.
There were so many lessons. I never thought I was going to talk about this here, but I remember like taking the pizza and thinking, I'm bringing it to my spiritual teacher in every home, like somebody I really love that helped me throughout my years. So every time I would knock, I always would think this is for him. So to always like, and I would bring a prayer with every pizza for the family, for the home. And I could feel when I was tuned into that, like people would get it energetically.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, that just like there were so many layers. I can tell you, like, it was just a horrible time of my life, but there was always that spiritual guidance and awareness. And really, that's what there was always the loving underneath, like a current, you know?
Yes.
And then, well, that selling life insurance became really hard because I was living in Austin and all the leads that they were giving me were in San Antonio. So it was like an hour and a half each way every single day.
Yeah.
And with my brain, that then I learned that my peripheral vision was all messed up. Like, so driving was exhausting, like, because my brain wasn't editing, like, things we usually edit in our vision. So it was, I remember coming back at night from San Antonio many times and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to sleep on the road. I cannot make it home. And just crying, you know, like, it was all so hard. And I would be like, sometimes driving, like, please, like, a truck hit me. Somebody take me out, like, literally, like, even praying, somebody hit me and get me out of here. It was really hard for a lot of years. And it was like a complex PTSD. I didn't know it. My brain was fully injured. I didn't know what to do with it. And working a stressful job driving and being in sales where you have rejection, they tell you yes, then they tell you no, then all these things. It was like a lot for my nervous system. And I finally got in touch. Somebody got me in touch with a lady from a concussion foundation, that she was an angel that opened doors for me. And that's when she took me to Amen Clinics in California from Dr. Amen. And I entered like a whole new level of my journey where they did these PET scans and they told me what was going on really inside of my brain, different scans that I never got done before. And they were like, okay, now we gotta really focus on, you actually have complex PTSD. Like by the time I'd already done a lot of treatments, I wasn't just an insurance, I was healing. I was doing hyperbaric chamber oxygen treatment 3 hours a day inside of a chamber in my house every day for 10 months. So they told me, you, by doing that, you heal your injury a lot. It's almost minimum. But now you have your, we can see your activity in your brain and you are in this PTSD fight or flight mode consistently. Even when you're resting, you're in fight or flight. So we're going to have to work on this. And that's where I enter a new journey. They gave me medication, which I still am. And I very proudly say it. I mean, years later, I still have to tweak my medication with my doctor to find that perfect balance of my chemicals in my brain. That was just a minor piece, you know, because I also have to change my diet. I take a whole lot of supplements for my brain health. I have to do cognitive therapy that I still do, EMDR for trauma. I have to exercise every day to get my endorphins going. So I do a whole lot of things to be well. And that got me out of my hole to do a combo of things. But I mentioned the thing about medication because I know that there's a lot of stigma and judgment around antidepressants and mood disorder medication and anxiety. I would not be alive if it wasn't for that because I even got better through the years and I got to a point that I was doing really well. So I stopped my medication and in a month, boom! Boom, I went straight into hell. Like a black cloud engulfed me. So I realized, okay, I do have a chemical imbalance and I'm going to respect this for my life, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So that was a lot of my journey and then a lot of trauma healing.
It's the Amen Institute, is it called?
Yeah, it's called the Amen Clinic.
Clinic, okay. I did. I think I saw one of the podcasts that they did. They're pretty amazing. So that was a pretty big turning point. So were you in Santa? You didn't move?
No. So I was living in Austin, traveling to San Antonio daily, and I stayed in Austin. So that became 6 years in Austin. And then I ended up being a waitress, which I loved. That was like the oasis of my life because I was working at a restaurant. The owners were like family to me. It's an Argentinian restaurant, and they became like my parents, and nobody busted my butt. Like, nobody asked anything from me. So I was like, oh my God, I have absolutely zero pressure. I'm having conversations with the clients and knowing everybody that comes. And I make my little money that pays all my bills. And then they give me really good food. And then I have my schedule open for the rest of the day. I loved it. That's why I always say, like, a lot of people come to me, like, as a coach, and they go, like, I want to do my coaching. I want to be a coach. And they never want to, like, if they're not paying their bills yet, and they never want to do a side job because they have to be a coach, you know. I always share this, like, look, I have to take responsibility for my finances in whatever way I have to. And then with time, and as I was more settled, I was able to go back into my coaching. But like, I also used to have the judgment of like, oh, having a job that is not coaching, that sucks. And you know what? Like, I found the joy in this, in all my different jobs. And that was the job that I took to heal, you know, to heal for a year or two where I had no pressure whatsoever. And I could only do my recovery healing, my trauma healing.
But you found the space. You found the space to do that, which is great. I think, you know, we could all sit around and judge all day long about what's a good job, what's not a good job. It sounds like you found happiness in the simplicity of family and of community. I mean, it sounds like that, you know, that I waited tables all through college and I loved it. There is something to be said too about having the time and space to just get to know people and just be there and just be present and all that. So I'm sure that was a healing thing.
And I was always fit. I was walking all over the place.
Exactly. It's a good workout.
And of course, it wasn't all butterflies. I had my moments too there, you know.
Right.
Like, basically, my brain couldn't handle anything. No, like, so even as cute as that was, I was still having major breakdowns because everything was very hard to do. I would get very fatigued. So I did have the night shift that I left at midnight and very hard. Like everything was uphill physically, you know?
Yes.
So that's okay. I mean, there were so many layers. In the middle of all this, I'm working at the restaurant and then there's this couple that eats there every day and they basically say, hey, we have a cafe. Do you want to be our manager? We love the way you work. We pay you like triple of what you're making here. I'm like, okay, yeah, hell yeah. So I told the owners, like, sorry, this is an incredible opportunity. And they're like, go, fly.
Nice.
And I was so happy. I was making really good money for what was that time of my life and enjoying it and loving it. And 3 months into that, I lift up something very heavy at the place and I cannot move. So that became herniated disc. And Noelle, I mean, whatever karmas I have to pay in life, I don't know what I've done in this life or past lifetimes because I paid so much karma. So because I was like, finally getting my life together, I feel less concussed. I have a regular job Monday to Friday, make really good money, and I have time to do the things I love. And suddenly, not only I cannot move, but it's like the biggest pain I ever felt in my body, like fetal position. And like I couldn't do anything. My mother had to fly urgently from Argentina to feed me, to take care of me, to take me to doctor's appointments. I couldn't drive. I was like in the back seat of the car, like shivering with pain. For 3 months, like crying in pain, I couldn't go. I need to go to Argentina to get treated there because in the States, I spent like almost 30 grand with prolotherapy and injections for my back like this.
Yes.
And I wasn't getting better. So I'm like, I got to go home where I can do all this for free. And I couldn't even get on the plane because of sitting. I couldn't sit of so much pain to So it should be 3 months of injections in my back, in my spine, to be able to sit down for the flight and get treatment in Argentina. And that was in the middle of all this. So I am, so basically I'm 38. I'm living my whole life. Nothing goes back to storage. I lost that job. I'm going to live with my mother in an apartment. I'm living in her tiny apartment in Argentina for like 8 months. At 38 years old, with no job, no house, nothing. And so that was a whole other layer of healing, not just physical. Yes. Where finally I did find somebody like this Japanese doctor did whatever he, something weird he did. I don't even know the name of the therapy. He healed me like in 3 months, like in three sessions.
Whoa, this was a herniated disc?
Yeah, like two herniated discs, which is probably all the damage I done from surfing and that. Yeah. They passed me the bill years later. And I always said, like, for me, the concussion was just a rehearsal to survive the herniated disc. The herniated disc was the worst. It was just intense, like living with physical pain at that level. Like, so I feel like I developed compassion for different, I mean, like now I'm a different coach, you know, because I can understand emotional pain. I can understand physical pain. Mm-hmm. Not all the pains, but like, I feel like maybe life put me through this. Today, I can understand a different sensibility towards others. Anyway, so then being in Argentina, I have to heal the relationship with my mother that I didn't want to, but suddenly we're living together. We have to.
Kind of can't avoid it. Yes.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, but it was amazing also. It was like going back to my past. Suddenly it was just, it was for a movie, like, I'm hanging out with my high school friends again, and we're playing again in our old band when we were 14 years old, and suddenly I'm playing music with them again. And then we do like a live show with all our friends, and it was like 30 years later we're doing all this, and I was loving it. Like, I was living like, no, it was crazy. So then I go back to Austin when I'm back, like I'm feeling good now, so I go back to rebuild. I'm going back to the Argentina restaurant, like, hey, can you hire me again? I'm the trainer that left you for the other people. They're like, come, we love you, come over. So I was told, like, I go back. And this is the crazy thing. Like, a month into being back, I was doing also trauma recovery groups. Like, I realized I had a lot of issues that I didn't even know I had. With the concussion, I had to look into everything, like yeah. Sexual abuse, all kinds of things I had no idea that were there.
Yeah.
So I was healing all those things, looking at them, and I remember a month later I was in a meditation class that is I assist once a month with my meditation teachers, and they do a Q&A part, and I at the Q&A I say I don't have a question, I just want to share something with you, and I want to tell you that I've never been happier in my life, I've never been so content, my life is peaceful. And side note, I'm being a waitress, I'm 39, and I live with two roommates in Austin. Okay. Nothing is the way we would like it to be officially. And I'm like, I'm just so happy. I'm content. I never felt this way. Like so at peace with myself, like really finding the joy in the very simple things of life, in friendships I had in Austin, in playing music, in doing all these things. And they were like, this is fantastic. I said, yeah, I don't need anything else. I'm just very fulfilled. So thank you for your guidance all these years. I want to share this. Oh, this is great. That was on a Sunday afternoon. Monday morning, I go to open the restaurant. And here comes this man dressed in a horrible soccer jersey thing that was my opponent from Argentina.
No way.
And I'm like, there's another waitress. I'm like, oh, God, this guy's from Argentina. He got the whole outfit from my opponent's soccer team. So you take the table. I don't want to deal with it. Too early to even deal with like small talk from a, like probably a bird from like whatever. He came with a friend. So I played like I didn't speak Spanish. Like he only speaks Spanish. So I'm like, she's going to take the table. Well, that is my husband. So I met him at the restaurant like the day after. The day after I said I need nothing, he showed
yes.
up.
So wait, you didn't take his table. How did you meet?
No, it was a funny story. I did not take it. He was struggling to put the order in English, and the poor waitress couldn't understand Spanish, so it was a big struggle, and I was still hiding. But then she comes back to report to me that his name is Leo. And I remember that the owner of the restaurant, 3 months before, I asked her, do you have any guy you can introduce to me? And no, not 3 months, actually, as soon as I came back from Argentina. And I was like, I want to meet an Argentinian man. I reconnected to my roots after 20 years living in the States, and I love the passion and all the things that non-politically correctingness.
Yes.
I'm like, do you know any Argentinian guy you can? And she's like, I know one, Leo, but it's not the right time. I'm like, I'm getting old. She's like, come on, you gotta introduce me.
No, wait, was this the Leo?
Yeah. So for a month, I kept telling her, hey, I'm gonna die with cats. Like, can you introduce me to Leo? And she's like, not yet. I'm like, what the hell? So then when he shows up, I had no idea even how he looked like. But the waitress comes to me. She's like, yeah, then we got to leave this for the owner. We got to say it's from Leo. He brought a jersey for the owner. It was a big day of a soccer thing. And I'm like, Leo? Oh, my God, that's the Leo. That's the Leo. So we were, like, spying on Leo for an hour, see how much he tipped before we even approached Leo.
Poor Leo. I feel bad for Leo in this scenario.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. So was he from Austin? Was he living in Austin?
Yeah, he's Argentinian, and he was living in Austin for like 5 years, and he was like 4 months before he got divorced. So it's just crazy.
Yes, that is a perfect example of how crazy life can be, right? When you least expect it. And what I love the most about it is that week prior, not even the week prior, you said it was that weekend.
Yeah.
You were really claiming kind of your happiness. You were saying like, I'm fine. I'm good. I am all good.
I don't need anything else, I said, to complete me. I think that was the key. Like, I don't need a man to complete me. I don't need anybody to save me. I'm happy on my own.
Yes.
I love myself.
You were telling the universe something, I think. So now we're going to fast forward. You are now living with Leo and your sweet little boy. What's your little boy's name again?
Federico.
He is adorable. Adorable. And you are where though? Are you Corpus Christi? Is that where you are?
Yes.
So you're by the ocean now?
We came to the beach in Texas, and it's really fun. Actually, when we finish this, I'm going surfing because he's waiting for me in the water.
Oh, nice. How fun.
He's freezing, but he stays for hours in the water. I made him a surfer. Like, he became addicted. Like, he surfs way more than me. I'm lazy at this point. He goes every day for 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Goodness. I'm like, I'm back home. So, yeah. But we did a leap of faith after... We were in a pandemic, and I don't know, we were living in this tiny condo, and I was, you know, having this waitressing job, and he was, like, cleaning swimming pools for a company. We used to do these trips to the beach just so I could surf, and one day the waves were really good here. I'm like, Leo, what the hell? I didn't know Texas had good waves. Not often, right? But I'm like, I need to live here. I had no idea. And he's like, okay. So I told him, let's build a company. Let's build your swimming. Let's do your own swimming pool cleaning company. Let's do it. And we did the whole leap of faith. Like, we bought our house via FaceTime because the house, the inventory was going like this. So the realtor, we did a few trips. But by the time we found the one, we had to pull the trigger and put the deposit. And it was all via FaceTime. And we just moved knowing nobody. With a mortgage, to a home, to a place we didn't know. And we worked together on his business. I helped him for the first year full on to get it off the ground. And then, you know, he was doing the cleaning. I was doing everything else. Then he hired some employees. And now, like, he has the life. I always say, yeah, I admire you. Like, he has the life. He's surfing all day. Oh, then he FaceTimes with the employees and tells them what to fix or whatever.
Right.
We have a very successful company and we're enjoying life.
Oh my gosh, Mercedes, this is like, and you're coaching again, right? But you're coaching kind of on your own time and in, you know, within the time and space that you can afford.
Yeah, it's only out of my joy.
It's so wonderful to see how you are so grounded. I feel like, I mean, and not to say, I think when we knew each other earlier, you know, that was years ago too. And we all have grown since then, but I feel like you have been through, wow, you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. But I think you popped out the other end of it with such joy and such a different zest for life. You've always had zest for life, but I feel like this is a deeper one.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Mercedes, thank you so much for joining us. I so appreciate you. And we're going to keep in touch because I want to hear all about that little boy of yours. I see him all the time on social media and I'm like, he's just a doll. Does he like to surf?
Not yet. He's so small, but he's a bit too. But this summer, we're going to start trying with a boogie board if he wants to. But he's obsessed with the water. He's addicted to any water, any body of water he wants to be in.
Oh my God. You got to show him pictures of, or the videos of you in the waves. He's probably going to be very inspired. Very inspired.
I know. I can't wait. I mean, I surf pregnant. And we surf actually really good waves together.
Oh, well, are they high waves?
I mean, I surfed a hurricane, so those weren't good waves. They were like, this sounds like a terrible mother, but they were soft. They're not, like, I knew what I was doing.
Right. You're being responsible. Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're being responsible. Oh, my gosh.
I stopped surfing. That 6 months pregnant, I couldn't move anymore.
Well, see, there you go. Well, I don't want to keep you from the waves. You got to get out there and meet Leo.
Okay. No, I come all day. I come all day when we can go, so don't worry.
Okay. But thank you again, Mercedes. It was such a pleasure. It's been so great to reconnect with you and just to hear your story it's mind-blowing. But I'm so, so happy to hear how wonderful you're doing.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me. And I hope this helps anybody, if it's meant to help somebody out there listening to, you know, if you're going through a hard time or since there's no way out right now of whatever situation, health or financial relationships. Just keep putting one step ahead of the next and trust and have faith and love yourself fully in your darkness with all the disaster. For me, that was the key. That's what changed everything. It wasn't so much, I did this, I did that. Yes, I did all the things. I did so many things to get better. But the main key for me was to love myself absolutely broken and accept myself broken, accept myself depressed, hopeless, and I have to love myself, meaning taking care of myself like a loving parent would do to a little girl. And I have to become that loving parent every single second of the day and ask her, what do you need? What can I give you? Express what you feel. I'm here for you. And that was the journey that I always feel truly in my heart, that I really feel that I live a very abundant life. There's abundance at all levels right now. I have health, a family, financial abundance. I mean, I do what I love. And I feel like different from like where we started with the how to manifest your dreams, that, you know, the hell yeah. And I was putting all these goals and going for them. And now I have more than I ever dreamed of. And none of this was a go-get kind of thing, go get it. It was literally going inside and loving, I always say loving the shit out of myself, no matter what, in all these things that I didn't want to have in me. And that loving was like the opening to a field of abundance, like to enter a different field of energy. That's what I feel. And I, to this day, I follow that loving and see where it takes me every day.
Oh, Mercedes, that is beautiful. That really is. And it's a good thing for people to hear that, because the journey that you've been on, although it's been a really difficult one, it's been well worth it. And you're still on it, right?
Of course.
You're still growing. We're all still growing, right? Oh, Mercedes, thank you again. You are awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's it for now. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Journeys Through Change podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or really wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us and leave a review if you've enjoyed this episode. And share it with a friend or on social media to spread the good word, so more women like you can find us and join in on the fun. For more information on the podcast or Day by Day book, go to livedaybyday.com.